Hi, and welcome to the magazine Rack on Chris. I'm June Holliday. Today I'll be reading from the June 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. Let's begin with a health article entitled, Is Everyone on Ozempic? Everything you need to know about the new diabetes drugs shaping the weight loss revolution, by Karen Robach. Weight is something that I've thought about every single day of my adult life, says Jennifer Blackburn, a 49-year-old public relations professional in Toronto. Following decades of trying different diets and medications and finding little success, in fall 2022, she started taking Ozempic, the diabetes drug that has become synonymous with celebrity weight loss. It has been life-changing, she says. U.S. healthcare providers wrote more than 9 million prescriptions for Ozempic and similar drugs during the last few months of 2022, around the time Blackburn received her script. Some 890 million adults have obesity worldwide, and weight loss drug sales are forecast to grow to as much as $100 billion by the end of the decade. No wonder obesity medications are a hot topic. But there's still mass confusion around who should take them, whether the potential side effects are worth it, and whether people who truly need them can access and afford the limited supply. How do the new obesity drugs work? Ozempic was approved by the FDA in 2017 for the treatment of type 2 diabetes. Once the manufacturer, Novo Nordisk, tapped into the drug's added benefit of triggering substantial weight loss, it soon had another drug in the works, Wegovy, with a higher dose of the same active ingredient, semaglutide, was approved in 2021 for the treatment of obesity. The company also makes an oral form of semaglutide called Rybelsus for type 2 diabetes. In addition to semaglutide, there is also tirzepatide, which is prescribed as Mounjaro for diabetes and Zepbound for obesity. Again, the active ingredient is the same, but the drugs are prescribed under different names with slightly different doses. Another diabetes drug, liraglutide, is marketed as Saxenda for weight loss, and dulaglutide is sold as Trulicity for diabetes management. Due to staggered release dates of these medications and fluctuations in their availability, some people without type 2 diabetes, such as Blackburn, have been prescribed the diabetes drugs for the treatment of obesity. The practice of prescribing drugs off-label, which means for a use other than the one the medication is approved for, is not uncommon. Semaglutide and tirzepatide work for people with type 2 diabetes by helping the pancreas produce more insulin when blood sugar is high and by preventing the liver from releasing too much sugar. And they provide a third action, the one that's getting all the attention, as GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide 1, receptor agonists. They mimic the gut hormone that communicates fullness to the brain. This false fullness cue helps patients eat less, which leads to weight loss, as much as 15 to 20% of patients' body weight. Tirzepatide has added benefit of also triggering a hormone from the small intestine, which speaks to the fullness center of the brain as well. Other than Rybelsus, which is a daily oral tablet, they're all given as a self-administered injection just under the skin of the thigh, the abdomen, or the back of the upper arm. Saxenda is a daily jab, while the others are taken weekly. For most people, the doses will need to continue indefinitely. Once someone stops taking the drug, their hunger cues are likely to return to their baseline and the weight comes back. The first time I see a patient, I tell them this is meant to be a long-term treatment plan, says Nidhi Kansal, an obesity medicine specialist at Northwestern Medicine in Chicago. When can these drugs help? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, more than 4 in 10 Americans have obesity. Defined as a body mass index, or BMI, of 30 or higher, obesity puts a person at increased risk of a range of health problems, from heart disease to sleep apnea. It should be noted that BMI is a screening tool and does not on its own determine a person's fitness or health. In obesity, metabolic hormones can be dysregulated, which means that for some people who are trying to do the right things in terms of diet and exercise, their bodies just won't respond the same way. That's where medication has been a game changer, says Dr. Consul. But since Oprah Winfrey and a slew of other influencers have raved about their slimming successes on these drugs, it seems everybody wants to try them. The overwhelming demand has led to shortages. Throughout 2023, people with type 2 diabetes struggled to access Ozempic. Periodic shortages are expected to continue this year. Novo Nordisk recently announced an earmarked $6.5 billion to boost production facilities to bolster its global supply chain. Those who can access these drugs face a significant financial cost. These medications are mind-blowingly expensive, says endocrinologist Amy Wariner, director of the University of Alabama at Birmingham Weight Loss Clinic. A monthly supply of Wegovy or Zepbound will set you back more than $1,000. Some private insurers won't cover the cost. Some place strict restrictions on who is eligible. Seniors face an added challenge. Medicare blocks all of these medications, says Fatima Cody Stanford, an obesity medicine physician scientist at Massachusetts General Hospital. She hopes that the Treat and Reduce Obesity Act, a push to lift Medicare's ban on weight loss drugs, a movement that has been underway for over a decade, will finally be passed, expanding and updating coverage. In the meantime, dozens more obesity drugs in development are certain to increase competition and eventually drive down prices. Still, there is big money to be made. In the spring of 2023, Weight Watchers acquired Sequence, an online weight loss coaching company that provides support for diet and lifestyle modifications, as well as for use of prescription medications. Earlier this year, Eli Lilly and Company, makers of Mounjaro and Zepbound, launched a telehealth service called Lilly Direct, where patients can, in consultation with an online healthcare provider, order the drugs directly to their door. Some practitioners worry that people are basically working around seeing in-person physicians who would be unlikely to prescribe to them, or turning to unregulated private telehealth services and weight loss clinics to get unapproved generic versions of the drugs without a prescription. This is very concerning, as we are not sure what patients are actually taking, says Dr. Wariner. How well do they work? For perspective, it helps to compare these drugs to the alternatives. Only 5 to 10% of patients seeking treatment for obesity are going to get significant weight loss with diet and lifestyle modifications alone, says Dr. Stanford. Bariatric surgery, where a large portion of the stomach is removed, has a high success rate, between 50 and 85%, depending on the type. But not everyone is a candidate, and many patients don't want to go under the knife. The third option is a class of oral weight loss drugs. The old generation of obesity medications, such as phentermine with topiramate, called Qsymia, and bupropion plus naltrexone, called Contrave, help most patients lose an average of 5% of their body weight. These medications are much more affordable than the newer ones, but the results aren't nearly as impressive. By comparison, studies show that those taking Wegovy shed an average of 15% of their weight. The results for Zepbound are even better, with patients losing 20% or more of their body weight when the drugs are taken in conjunction with exercise and dietary changes. These are results we've never seen before, says Daniel Drucker, an endocrinologist at the Lunenfeld-Tannenbaum Research Institute in Toronto, who helped identify the hormone that gave rise to these medications. But that's if, and only if, the medications work for you. This is not talked about enough, but I do have patients, about a quarter of them, who are minimal to non-responders, says Dr. Stanford. That's why I don't use phrases like miracle drug, because it's only a miracle if it works for you. What else can they do? The benefits extend beyond the number on your scale, says Daniela Hurtado Andrade, an endocrinologist at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. The largest semaglutide study to date, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, found that the drug reduces the risk of heart attacks, strokes, and cardiovascular death by 20%. The patients in the study were all 45 years and older, overweight or obese, and had cardiovascular disease. Also, only 3.5% of the patients taking semaglutide progressed to having diabetes, compared to 12% in the placebo group. And a major new study published in the American Heart Association journal Hypertension found that people with obesity taking Zepbound experienced a significant drop in blood pressure. These medications are life-changing for so many people, allowing significant weight loss, but more importantly, leading to impressive health benefits, including medical reversal of diabetes, improved mobility, reduced liver disease due to fatty infiltration, and so much more, says Dr. Werner. Because we already know that GLP-1 drugs reduce inflammation in the heart, kidneys, and liver, researchers are hopeful that this effect could be applied to treat inflammatory diseases of the brain and eventually Parkinson's and Alzheimer's diseases. Additional research is looking at the potential of these drugs to treat non-metabolic conditions related to the reward center of the brain, such as drug addiction and alcohol abuse. But are weight loss drugs really the answer? Despite all the benefits, there are some definite downsides. Mental health issues are not listed among Ozempic's possible side effects. But in July 2023, the European Medicines Agency, Europe's equivalent of the FDA, said it was looking into a risk of thoughts of self-harm and suicidal thoughts with the use of Ozempic and similar drugs. Wegovy comes with warnings for depression or thoughts of suicide. More common side effects include a range of gastrointestinal issues, including nausea, constipation, and diarrhea. As many as 15% of patients experience side effects, says Dr. Cancel. Ozempic's list of possible serious side effects include inflammation of the pancreas, kidney failure, gallbladder problems, and thyroid cancer. In August 2023, Eli Lilly and Company and Novo Nordisk were sued over claims that their drugs caused gastroparesis, a disorder that makes food move too slowly through the stomach on its way to the small intestine, which can cause severe pain, vomiting, and dehydration. As of February 2024, over 55 personal injury lawsuits against Ozempic had been combined into a federal litigation that could grow to as many as 10,000 plaintiffs. The companies deny the claims. At press time, all cases are ongoing. And a report published in the Journal of the American Medical Association has established a link between the use of GLP-1 agonists for weight loss and the risk of serious gastrointestinal conditions. Researchers looked at health insurance claims from more than 5,000 patients in the U.S. and compared four gastrointestinal problems, including gastroparesis, in patients prescribed these drugs. Among people taking semaglutide, gastroparesis was seen at a rate of about 10 cases per 1,000. A rate of 1% initially may seem small, but when you put it into the context of millions of people taking these medications, that could potentially affect tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, says the report's lead author, Mohit Sodhi, of the University of British Columbia Faculty of Medicine in Vancouver. With all this in mind, the experts we spoke with say we have sufficient data on the drugs to allow people, those who need them for medical use and have been prescribed under the care of a doctor, to feel confident taking them. But we don't know how the use of the drugs might play out over decades or what some of the side effects of rapid weight loss will mean in the long run. There are already some concerns about decreases in muscle mass and bone density. Despite all their potential, what the new obesity drugs can't seem to cure is the stigma of obesity. It's a myth that obesity is a choice, says Dr. Stanford. The reality is that obesity is a disease, and still the world judges people with obesity harshly, and people often condemn themselves too. They think they are failures, and they think they are cheating if they are using a drug to manage their disease, says Dr. Katzal. We don't think about any other medical diagnosis in this way. Jennifer Blackburn has discovered a new life on Ozempic. She has lost 35 pounds and kept it off and gained a new appreciation for her body. She no longer drinks, she is excelling at work, and she has started traveling, booking several walking trips in recent months. I feel happier, more confident, and I guess the word would be empowered, says Blackburn. It's about so much more than size. It's like the weight has been lifted off my shoulders. Let's continue now with The Healthy, wellness from thehealthy.com. The first article is entitled, Why Water Workouts Work. Swimming and other aquatic exercises have special benefits, by Beth Winehouse. Imagine finding out that chocolate cake is the ideal health food. Okay, that's not true, but it is true that something you might only associate with vacations, leisure time, and sheer fun is one of the best exercises around. We're talking about swimming and other aquatic exercises. Working out while all or partially submerged in water has multiple benefits for both the mind and the body, and can be done by almost anyone of any age at any fitness level. A 30-year observational study at the University of South Carolina found that swimmers had about half the risk of death from any cause over the course of the study compared to participants who were runners, walkers, or sedentary. Swimming is the fourth most popular sports activity in the United States, and you don't have to do the crawl, breaststroke, side stroke, or even the dog paddle to get benefits. Water aerobics, pool walking, and water workouts with weights are also great ways to get in shape. Journalist Jackie Duda even credits her pool workouts with giving her back her health and independence after a near-death experience. A new lease on life. Duda, 61, suffered from multiple medical problems, including Crohn's disease, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which affects the body's connective tissues, and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, a condition that causes a rapid heartbeat when a person stands up. She relied on a scooter and other mobility aids to get around. But it was undiagnosed diverticulitis leading to septic shock that nearly killed her in 2021. Duda was put on a ventilator and flown by helicopter to a Baltimore trauma center, where surgeons removed a third of her colon and left her with a 10-inch scar and a temporary colostomy bag. Months later, after her colon was reconnected, Duda began physical therapy. Down to 117 pounds with scrawny legs and flabby arms from lack of muscle tone, she was barely strong enough to lift her phone. Her primary care provider, physician assistant Renee Lapointe, recommended that she add water therapy to her program. I walked, waded, marched, and performed squats, Duda remembers of her first day in the pool. I was amazed. I felt gloriously pain-free. Duda went from swimming every other day to swimming every single day for more than a year. Today she has more energy and less pain than she's had in decades. In fact, she now swims 4 or 5 miles a week and walks for 4 or more miles every day without mobility aids. The many benefits of water fitness. Exercising in water can help anyone become more fit, and the many advantages of water workouts, besides the fitness factor, may surprise you. Consider these perks. Water's buoyancy minimizes the effects of gravity, meaning it's gentle on joints. This makes exercising in water an excellent choice for people with arthritis and for people who want to prevent it. Swimming engages most of the body's major muscle groups, including those in the legs, upper body, and core. It's a combination of stretching, strength training, and an aerobic workout. Swimming even helps strengthen bones. While you don't feel as hot and sweaty in the water as you do when you work out on land, swimming and other aerobic workouts in water still raise your metabolic rate, burn calories, and help with weight loss. Swimming and other water aerobics get your heart pumping without putting as much strain on the body as other aerobic activities. Regular swimming can help lower blood pressure and relax stiff arteries, reducing the risk of heart disease and stroke. Swimming helps improve balance and coordination. One Australian study compared swimming with several other kinds of exercise, including calisthenics and workouts on treadmills, and found that only swimming helped people prevent falls. Submerging yourself in water just feels good, sometimes bringing up happy summer memories from childhood. Like all aerobic exercises, swimming, pool walking, and other kinds of water aerobics release the feel-good hormones called endorphins in your brain. The extra boost of these chemicals helps combat anxiety, depression, and stress. Jackie Duda experienced many of these benefits, and for that reason, she plans to keep up her water workouts for as long as she can. After I get out of the pool, I feel like I'm 31, not 61, she says. Being in the water is what has made me feel like myself again. News from the World of Medicine by Beth Winehouse. Breathing for blood pressure. Chances are that unless you have a respiratory problem, you don't think much about your breathing. It just happens. But your breathing can affect the health of your entire body. And a new study from Florida State University suggests that how you breathe can even lower your blood pressure. In this study, healthy adults with slightly elevated blood pressure were asked to breathe through the nose for 5 minutes and then through the mouth for 5 minutes while at rest. Their blood pressure measurements were lower when they inhaled and exhaled through the nose only. The researchers hope that future studies will help determine just how to use these findings to help people manage or improve hypertension. A surprising new use for statins. Statins, such as Lipitor, are the most prescribed medicines in the United States, used to help millions of people lower their cholesterol. Now a new study shows that these drugs may also be useful for treating breast cancer. Researchers in Finland found that women who began statin therapy after a breast cancer diagnosis had a significantly reduced risk of mortality. Interestingly, those who were already taking statins did not see the same benefits. Women with estrogen receptor positive tumors found the most benefits. The sound of diabetes. Diabetes is generally diagnosed through blood tests, urine tests, and symptoms such as excessive thirst. Now scientists have found a change that might help diagnose type 2 diabetes even before someone shows up at the doctor's office for testing. Scientists recruited 267 participants, some with diabetes and some without, and had them record a specific phrase on their smartphone 6 times a day for 2 weeks. The researchers then used artificial intelligence to analyze the recordings. The AI was able to detect subtle voice changes, not noticeable by human ears, that indicated type 2 diabetes with almost 90% accuracy. While more research is needed, the scientists hope their work will lead to simpler, quicker, and less expensive screening. The exercise that takes years off your brain. Most people work out to improve their bodies, but one popular workout may have a powerful effect on brain health too. Tai Chi is a form of exercise popular among older adults who want to improve their balance, mobility, and general fitness. Now, it turns out that this ancient Chinese art may also help keep the brain young. An Oregon study of more than 300 people in their mid-70s with mild memory loss found that practicing Tai Chi for 6 months led to improved scores on memory tests, equivalent to gaining 3 to 6 years of brain health. The researchers believe that it's the combination of physical movement and the mental challenge of memorizing and executing sequences, much like learning a new dance routine, that's responsible for the effect. Foods to start and end the day right. It's not just what you eat, but when you eat that matters. That's the conclusion of two separate studies, one looking at breakfast and the other at bedtime eating. In the first, published in the Journal of Affective Disorders, scientists studied the breakfast habits of more than 20,000 American adults. Those who ate breakfast regularly, especially if the breakfast didn't include inflammatory foods like red meat, processed meat, like bacon, and commercial baked goods, had lower rates of depression. In the second study, Penn State University scientists found that people who regularly ate berries, any kind, but especially blackberries, had fewer nights of short sleep, less than 6 hours. Add some blueberries to your morning oatmeal and have a bowl of blackberries after dinner, and sweet dreams. Let's finish up today with World of Good Reasons to Smile. Heard any good jokes? There's an old payphone in Washington, D.C. where, if you press a button, you can hear a gag like this. How does the polygamist hippie count his wives? One Mrs. Hippie, two Mrs. Hippie. The voice belongs to Don Rutledge, a teacher and the creator of the jokes phone. Because he thought it would be fun, Rutledge, who lives nearby, bought the phone online, replaced its guts with a computer, and placed it on the street. Press *1 to hear a knock-knock joke, or *2 for a kid's joke. Pressing *5 plays fun facts. You can also press £0 to chat with a random guy who thinks he has all the answers. That guy is Rutledge, who told The Washingtonian that callers often are freaked out that somebody actually answers, so they hang up. But sometimes they stay on, and I just talk to them. By the way, it's free. That's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the June 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. I'm June Holiday. So long until next time.